Welcome to the latest podcast. Today I'm pleased to be interviewing Jim Cosimore, a three-time Emmy Award-winning host who has worked on four Olympic Games as a play-by-play announcer for the NBC Sports Group. He's also co-founder of Sports ETFs. Welcome, Jim.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
Real good. And you?
Good. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Great. Now, this is kind of a follow-up from the podcast I did last week with Nick Fullerton, the other co-founder of the Pro Sports Sponsors Fund. And I wanted to kind of get an idea of how you two came up with this idea.
Yeah, it's quite unique. As you just rattled off some of my sportscasting credentials, I've been in the world of sports for about 30-plus years. And along the way, I've worked for a number of NBA teams, and I've worked with the NFL, the NHL, the NBA, Major League Baseball. And when you work in those worlds, you get to see how important the business side of the operation is and just what the business side means to teams, to leagues, to individuals. And throughout time, I always wondered, Fred, why do these corporations give so much money to these leagues? What is it about the attachment? Do they just want to get a picture taken with the starting left tackle after practice? Do they want to shake the hand of the backup point guard? Or is there some business realm to it? And so what I started to do was just track the stock prices of these official partners of the league. Mm-hmm. I brought that to Nick, who's my friend, who's an advisor. I dabble in investing. He's an advisor. He looked at some of my back testing, and we thought that we might have a product that was interesting enough for the everyday fan who likes investing to participate in sports.
So it's basically a way for someone to take advantage of the fact that these large corporations have already done their due diligence on, you know, which team to support and kind of piggyback on that. Is that right?
Very much so. You look at a group of companies that have decided that sports is a nice angle for them to try and grow their business or increase their brand identification. And it's a lot of the companies, Fred, that you would assume. It's the Cokes and the Pepsis and the Budweisers and the Coors and the McDonald's. But there are some out there that you might not know that would use sports to try and grow. A company like Amazon, who has partnered with two of the professional sports leagues for a couple of different purposes, one being the streaming of NFL games. And you think, well, it's a trillion-dollar company now. What does it matter to be involved in sports? Well, Amazon only gets involved in businesses that they think is going to help their bottom line. And it's when companies like Amazon and Microsoft and SAP decide to start attaching themselves to sports where you really start to see the importance of that attachment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I understand that the ETF concentrates on hockey, football, baseball, and basketball. Have you looked at or considered other types of sports, either as part of this ETF or maybe other future ETFs such as soccer, horse racing, motorsports, tennis, golf, any of those areas?
Excellent question. There are a number of ways that you can slice these things up, and we certainly have been tracking all of those different indices that you just pointed out, but we've tracked some others that include European soccer, that includes some global companies, that global leagues. And so when you think about other leagues or sports and what you can track for them, we felt it was important for us to have one identifiable product in the beginning, and that was the Pro Sports Sponsors Index. Most of us follow in some way, shape, or form one of the big four sports: NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL. We also know that there is a growing hunger for soccer. We seriously considered using the MLS for this product, but we also know that there are other products out there or there are other indices that we might be able to utilize that for. And so as we look at the future and what can happen in this, we feel that there are other categories that need to be or that can be filled. For instance, the first fund, the Pro Sports Sponsors Fund, which the ticker is FANZ, F-A-N-Z, that is a large cap fund, but we find that some of these other sports might fit other categories. For instance, we can build a European product around something. We can build a global product around something or an emerging markets product around something. And so that's kind of how we decided to track some of these other indices.
Mm-hmm. What about investing directly into teams such as Manchester United, or maybe semi-directly, like Comcast owns the Philadelphia Flyers and the Phantoms hockey teams and the 76ers basketball team, and then there's Madison Square Garden with the Knicks and the Rangers. Has that been a consideration?
If you choose to do that in an individual way, and that's another way to slice this onion, you're concentrating a lot of your investment in just one area. We also have looked at some other realms of investable professional sports, including motorsports. There's a number of ways that you can invest directly into a speedway, and that would count as a sport, and we certainly are tracking those. But what we find is if someone wants to be an owner in a team, you can buy MSG. They own arenas, and they own a couple of teams. But again, you're concentrated into one area. We felt that an ETF would allow more people access to more things. And there are some areas also, Fred, where you look at, like the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. Here's a franchise. It's much storied. Their 100th anniversary. You can buy a share in the Green Bay Packers, but you don't have voting rights. You don't get dividends. You don't really get much. Mm-hmm. Manchester United would be an interesting play, but I believe that'd be a difficult buy. I don't know what their ADR is, but I would certainly think that if people are interested in that's a way to slice it. We just felt it was, for our purposes, this was the better way to slice something that everyone could kind of understand.
I see. And there's probably not enough of the direct ownership stocks anyway to even make a whole new ETF out of it, I would assume.
Yeah, you would have to. Again, you don't want to be over-concentrated. If you were to build an index that would track these companies and you only had 10 tradable, that would be a little tight. That would be a narrow window. In our fund, there are over 100 businesses, corporations that partner with professional, one of the four main professional sports leagues. But of those 100, roughly 75, it's a give or take a one or two as we rebalance four times a year. Mm-hmm. But right around 75 are publicly traded. And so that's a little bit wider of a group of companies that we can follow. And that gives you a little bit wider range of what you're investing in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why don't we switch gears for a minute? Let's talk about the Colin Kaepernick incident and the effect on the Nike stock. I know Nike stock did drop fairly substantially when the news came about the advertisement, but then today I see it's up today. Do you want to comment on the effect of celebrities on a corporation and their revenues?
Well, what I would say about Nike is that they're pretty smart people and they know what their audience is. And so I believe it was a calculated move for them to have Colin Kaepernick as a spokesperson in the face of their 30-year anniversary of the Just Do It campaign. I think the big number that came out, Fred, the day after the announcement that Colin Kaepernick was going to be the face, mm-hmm. was they lost $3.4 billion value, mm-hmm. which, you know, it's pretty eye-popping, and people can argue one way or another, but when we see things that are controversial, and I think that it's fair to say Colin Kaepernick is a controversial name, and that's not to say that he's right or wrong in his stance, but it certainly brings up an emotion for a lot of people. That when we see a move downward, it's a reactionary move, and we can naturally realize that Nike's a pretty big company and a pretty smart company. They don't make a lot of horrible moves. I believe that they did their due diligence, and they felt for their brand and for their target audience, this was the right move to help sell sneakers and apparel. Mm-hmm. That's their goal, to sell sneakers and apparel. And so I think that if companies utilize spokespeople for the right cause, they certainly can get a nice bang for the buck. And quite honestly, if anyone was a person who plays the stock market, you might have been smart to look at that initial negative bump, that move downward, mm-hmm. To say, hey, buying opportunity, because I don't think Nike's going away. So what that did, that initial announcement might have provided people who didn't want it to be, but a nice buying opportunity, and maybe some people took advantage of it.
Yeah, okay, great. Let's talk about another fairly controversial issue is sports betting. Do you think that'll have much effect on sports in general, or will there be sports betting companies that may be investment opportunities? Any opinion on that?
Absolutely. I think this is if you are looking for investment opportunities or if you are looking at the importance of what sports is going to be in the future, this is one of those areas that you really have to start to pay attention to. I think it is going to be a positive for viewership, for interest, for other companies involved with these professional sports teams and leagues because people are going to be involved. Over the past weekend, Fred, there was an event held by DraftKings. We remember DraftKings from three or four seasons ago. They were the ones who were throwing all those commercials up during the NFL season to the point where we kind of got tired of them, but they were a daily fantasy product. Well, they've now pivoted to become a product where they are involved in gaming, gambling, and you can do it from the app on your phone. And when you start to see these micro bets, micro transactions, Fred, where people are betting $2 on whether or not someone is going to throw or run on second down, you are going to see an area of gambling that you and I never would have thought. When you and I grew up, we might have had a parlay card. We might have had a buddy that we wanted to bet $5 on whether or not the Bears were going to beat the Packers. But the layers that they are doing now and talking about and have the ability to do, it is going to move the needle and is going to be a tremendous investment opportunity. But it's so early, you don't know where to jump. That's the big question.
I see. Okay. Well, it's definitely an area to be looking at in the future. I wanted to talk a little bit about your background and how you actually got into sports broadcasting. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Like many young people, I loved playing sports. I played each and every day. I got up and played most of the sports, but I am at my best 5'9" and about 160 pounds. That size is probably not going to get you very far playing some of these sports, but I was a decent little player, had a chance to play a little bit of college sports, but I opted just to go and be a student. But being that I had this love of sports and watched them all the time, I wanted to stay attached to them. Knowing my size was what it was, it wasn't going to be as an athlete, but it could be in other areas. Was it going to be in coaching? Was I going to be able to help in other areas? Well, I found that broadcasting was something that I gravitated towards. We always used to listen to the games or watch the games, and where I grew up, my friends and I used to imitate the announcers who lived near us. And so I just kind of gravitated towards the broadcast side of it, and I've been blessed to have opportunities from the time I graduated college. But that's how it really started. It was just many of us in this industry, we either played or loved sports so much, and that's how it got started.
And any advice for any young person that wants to do what you're doing?
Yeah, don't be afraid to try things that maybe are outside of your area of comfort. There's no question. I mean, my first job, Fred, I was a country music disc jockey in Silver City, New Mexico. They changed my name from Jim Cozumore to Jim Cozy on the Nifty 950. And I didn't know much about country music, but they let me do the high school game on Friday night, and the college local little college game on Saturday afternoon. And as a result of doing those other jobs, it helped me become a better broadcaster in what I really wanted to do. So don't be afraid to try new things, and don't be afraid to do things that maybe it's not exactly what you wanted to do, but it gets you behind the microphone or in front of the camera and gives you an opportunity to hone your skills. So that would probably be my best advice that I could give anyone.
Wow, great answer. Well, I really appreciate your time, and I really appreciate the information you've given us. It's a lot of it's fascinating information, and I want to thank you for your time.
Well, Fred, thank you very much for having me on, and for anyone who's more interested, you can always go to our website at sportsetfs.com. It's a fun product, and for those fans out there who, you know, you watch the games, you like to invest a little bit, you'll realize that you see these commercials all the time, but more importantly, you utilize these products all the time. So it's kind of a neat thing if you're an investor. But Fred, thanks for giving us the time.